Cut their old pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Hello and welcome to Muffin Talk. This is Muffin Talk brought to you by the initiative Titi Paunamu, Study and Joy. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today I have invited Brother Kieran Fenn to a Zoom recording for our broadcast. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and Haida Maita radio program. Brother Kieran Fenn is a Champagnat brother and Bible scholar. He is originally from Gisborne and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. Our Muffin Talk today and our online session next Friday evening will be the first session on the Gospel according to Mark. Brother Kieran, your new series of four parts will be on the Gospel according to Mark. Before we start talking about it, what is a gospel? And then I understand there's a difference between a gospel with a capital G or a small g. Is that right?
There is, and that's very important to get G's right. Right. So we'll start with the small g. And the meaning of a gospel with a small g, it had political implications in the Roman world. And it was, for instance, the Emperor Augustine establishing peace in the world. That was the gospel, the good news. That's good news is handy to recognize that that's what the word gospel means. Also, of course, if the emperor came visiting, that was also a gospel, a good news, because you might get tax relief and all other sort of privileges. So, it's got a political meaning as well, but the gospel becomes the good news of Jesus Christ. With the small g, I always like to ask people the question, why did Jesus come? And, I know I always get the answer from most people, to save us. Now, that's the language of Christian theology. I really wonder what answer Jesus himself would have given in his historical lifetime. And I think the Gospels with a capital G, the four Gospels, would give us that he came to show us the face of God, a God who is loving and caring for each person. If only we could realize the enormous love of God for each one of us. So, yes, that was the first message. And the second message would be to proclaim the reign of God. We call it the kingdom of God. Matthew calls it the reign of God. And the reign of God is God's work in history. Mark's gospel actually is particularly interesting because when you have the 15 miracles in the first half, they're all designed against a world that is dominated by the reign of Satan. As there is sickness, Jesus heals. As there is hunger, Jesus feeds. As there is death, Jesus gives life. And that's an essential way to understand the miracles of the Gospels.
Can we say that the Gospel, the preaching, the good news, is something that gives us hope in a dark time?
Oh, and I think what is beautiful about the Gospel of Mark is it is the Gospel of the cross. And the cross is experienced in the life of everybody. It is particularly acute in our day, in this year, with the crisis, with the COVID crisis, with the poverty, with the loss of work and so on. And it's a Gospel that came out of an era of persecution. An era in which Christians died for their faith. We had Nero in the year 64, the persecutions. This is a gospel that I think is particularly important and relevant to our world today, our suffering world. So yes, this is the gospel of Mark. And there are the other ones, Matthew, Luke, and John. Four gospels. So we have, that's the capital G ones.
So why are these ones? And just one more question regarding the gospel, because you said it means the good news. And I understand that in Greek it's evangelium.
Yes.
And in German the word gospel is evangelium.
Yes.
And but also it can be translated as good tidings.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, New Zealand Christmas song where it's about the good tidings.
Good tidings of great joy. Yeah. I think we can go to the Gospel of Luke, and the word joy occurs more than in any of the other Gospels. So, yes, which is rather delightful.
So it's good to start talking about the Gospel when we are talking about the good tidings, and yes, we're coming towards Advent. That's the reason why we've decided to do four sessions on the Gospel according to Mark, because this will be our next focus in the church here, the Gospel according to Mark.
Yes, yes. And it's such a different gospel because, there are no Christmas stories. And what we really need to understand is ask questions. I mean, the questions are so critical. Why? Why no Christmas stories?
Brother Kieran, maybe we should just clarify that the Christmas story that we know in Christianity is based on the Gospels according to Matthew and Luke.
Yes.
And
yes,
there's no Christmas story in Mark, and not and in John also no Christmas
story. No, John goes back even further. He goes back to "In the beginning was the Word." So he likes to go right back to the start of everything and even beyond the start of everything.
So just to set the scene, when we're talking about the gospel according to Mark, that is the earliest gospel.
Yes.
And at that time, people were concentrating on death and resurrection. Is that correct?
Yes. And I think we need to recognize the importance of the statement that out of Easter came the gospels. And if you think about it, at a human level, when the followers of Jesus gathered together after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the obvious thing they would be talking about would be what just happened. So the first part of the gospel to come to be would be the narrative of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. First level. Second level, what did he do to get himself crucified? And there you have the apostolic ministry of Jesus. And that, of course, is where you have the Gospel of Mark, containing those two elements. In fact, if you go back even earlier, the focus, of course, is the epistles of Paul. And all you find in Paul is the significance of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So Mark becomes a second-level New Testament work with a gospel that begins with the narrative of the life and ministry of Jesus from his beginning of the ministry, John the Baptist. And then you have the resurrection, passion, death, resurrection. And then I'm sure some wonderful mother among the Christians said, "What was he like as a child?" So there we get Matthew and Luke giving us some infancy narratives. And those infancy narratives, of course, the material comes, there were a few facts that were known, but the material comes from the life of the adult Jesus. The father, the adult is the father of the child when it comes to the infancy narratives. That's the third, that's the next level of the Gospels. So the fascinating thing is, when you read a Gospel, you read from the infancy through the ministry to the passion, death, and resurrection. But the Gospels are written in exactly the opposite way.
And so, but what do we do then for Christmas that we don't have a Christmas story?
Well, we're just going to have to get a mixture. I think we may be getting all sorts for Advent.
So we understand that the Gospel according to Mark was the first Gospel. At that yes. time, the focus was on death and resurrection. And it was only once this was written and proclaimed already that yes. people were thinking, well, who was Jesus? Where did he come from?
Well, interestingly, though, go back to Advent for a moment. Advent means coming. So therefore, why not focus on the Baptist? Because the Baptist is the one who is preparing the way for the coming. So we got to fit Mark in somehow. So now, your question now was?
Well, if you're thinking about Mark and yes. being the first gospel, the mm-hmm. earliest gospel, written around 70, the year 70.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
so the people, as you mentioned earlier, it was the gospel of the cross, because many, many Christians who believe in what was written, they were persecuted and they really had to suffer. And that's why you say it's the gospel of the cross.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was only then afterwards that people said, well, as you said, who was his mother? Who are his parents? Who was Jesus? Because he didn't just come as an adult onto the earth. Whereas for Mark, this was not the problem, because he was focusing on his ministry. Is that correct?
Good, yes. And note that the key moment at the beginning, of course, is the baptism of Jesus. You have the heavens are torn open. This is Isaiah language. Just as you have with the opening statement and after the key line, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, you have an Isaiah statement about preparing the way. And the Baptist comes as the one who prepares the way. So, yes, we have the way. We have what we have in this gospel is a passion narrative with an extended introduction. Everything is leading towards the passion. And the interesting thing, to go back to that chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, it's almost as though from 1:1, you can run a line to chapter 8, verse 29, where Jesus asked, Who am I? Who do you say that I am? And Peter gets the answer right, but the meaning wrong, with you are the Christ, the Messiah. So you see 1:1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus the Christ. All we have to have now is the second part, the Son of God. And we go all the way to chapter 15, verse 39, where the centurion at the foot of the cross says, truly, this was the Son of God, or this is the Son of God. So it's beautifully structured when you think of it. And you've got the first half of this gospel is almost misleading, because it's the Jesus in power, 15 miracles. And then what kind of Messiah is he to be? And then, of course, you have the next 8 chapters, Jesus in weakness, the journey to the cross. The type of Messiah is being answered. The suffering servant of Isaiah, of the second Isaiah.
And Brother Kieran, when you mentioned, you're mentioning Isaiah quite a lot, and you say Isaiah is from the Old Testament. Yes. And so there is the reference to the Old Testament. Can we say that Mark is maybe like a preparation towards Matthew, who refers to the Old Testament very frequently?
Yes, but the interesting thing is the Markan emphasis on Isaiah. That's such a powerful focus there. And it's really fascinating when you start bringing in other Gospels, because we have what is, you know, the three synoptic Gospels. You see them together: Mark, Matthew, Luke. And there's a book called The Gospel Parallel, where you've got Mark in the middle, Matthew on the left, and Luke on the right. And then you start to see, oh, they change things. And, of course, that's mainly because Mark is uncomfortable. Mark is an uncomfortable gospel. It is fiercely critical of the disciples, of the leaders of the community. It is, Jesus gets angry, he gets annoyed, he loses his cool. And people, and Matthew and Luke, they sort of tone all that down. They're uncomfortable with it. But the beauty of the Gospel of Mark is the human face of Jesus emerges more than in any other gospel. His feelings come through. And just as there can be annoyance and frustration, there is a beautiful warmth and sympathy that comes through towards those that he's dealing with. He gets frustrated, of course, with the intolerance, the leaders of the people, their misunderstanding, their refusal to accept. I mean, you get a case like the man with the withered hand or the woman who's bent over. And on the Sabbath, you take your donkey, your ass, to water it. But this poor woman who's been, this person who's been bound for 15 years. And, of course, it's such a frustrating situation. And Mark will allow him to feel frustrated and for it to come through. So, yes, there is this beautiful humanity that it is the human Jesus that I think is so attractive that comes through in Mark.
And when Mark was written, wasn't this around the same time that the temple was destroyed?
Yes, certainly it's a gospel that is round about the year 70. It could be anywhere between 66. The Jewish war with Rome is certainly the background to some of it. So anywhere time between 66 and 74. So that's the decade. But the fact it is the earliest of the gospels, and that's an interesting point, because Augustine maintained that it was just a summary of Matthew and Luke. So it, I would call Mark the neglected gospel, because it's only been since about the 18th century that it has received the prominence that it deserved. For more than 500 years, on Sundays, most Sundays of the year, we listen to Matthew. And certainly the church now needs to hear more of Mark and of Luke. And certainly what John has been with us in different forms and different parts of the liturgy.
But, so how come that these four Gospels were chosen as the four Gospels? I understand that there were other Gospels written, and they were not chosen.
Yes, well, of course, we may have heard of the Gospel of Thomas, which finishes by, the disciples discussing Mary Magdalene, and she'll turn into a man, and then she'll be saved. And then you've got the infancy gospel of Thomas, where Jesus is playing around that pool as a little lad and some brat splashes him and is struck dead. And when the parents go and complain to Mary and Joseph, they get told to bring their child up with better manners. Now, I think there might be a good reason why some of those ones didn't make it into the canon, the collection. But the other interesting thought, and I quite like it, it came from people like Irenaeus and from Jerome, that if you go back, here's the Old Testament background again. If you go back to Ezekiel, right, you have the great vision of God being carried in this chariot. And at each corner, there's the dominant head of the creature is the head of the eagle, the head of the ox, which is the leading sacrificial animal, the head of the human being, and then you have the fourth, the head of the lion. Now, each of those are the kings of creation. So if a four-cornered chariot can carry the God of creation, four gospels can carry the incarnate Son of God. So I always like to use the image of a four-sided diamond, and you have different facets on each side of the diamond. So you have four gospels and one Jesus. And each gospel is such a different gospel from the previous one. You can sort of see the differences, and the differences are fascinating.
And that's why the animals that you connected with the Gospels, that's why Mark is seen as the Gospel. He's often depicted as a man with a lion.
Yes.
And then you have Luke with an ox.
Yes.
And you have John with an eagle.
Yes.
And Matthew
with the head of the human being, because how does Matthew start? With the human genealogy of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it also takes us nicely back into the Old Testament, because all of those Old Testament figures are listed in the genealogy, right? So
they were chosen some time ago, but it only is since Vatican II that we hear about Mark more often.
Well, it might also be, yes, because we have been challenged to understand the scriptures. I was really deeply affected by the line of Irenaeus, that the presence of the Lord in his word is as real as his presence in the Eucharist. And I think that as Catholics, we should really ask ourselves the question, does the living Lord step out of the liturgy of the word as really and truly and as effectively as the living Lord steps out of the Eucharist for us? There's your tragedy of the Reformation, isn't it? You can't feed people from one table. Yeah. You have to feed people from both tables.
Which also means that the persons who are reading need to read with a lot of knowledge. It's like the priest can't just celebrate Eucharist. He has gone through a long formation and then he was ordained. But yeah. That's why we do have the trainings and the commissioning of ministers. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. Training sessions and so on. But the thing that I know from more than 40 years of working in the script in the biblical field is it's a continuing work. You don't just get it all at the start. You have to keep growing in this. It's a biblical spirituality that one develops as the years go by.
I remember that at your last session on Mary, there was one person who had been, learning and reading a lot about the New Testament, especially, and said afterwards, "Well, now I have new gates open because there are things that I've never seen, even though I've read this passage so many times." So I think that if you are a Bible scholar, you will always discover something new because you are coming from a new point of view, and somebody will raise a point that you are not aware of.
And the relevance of the gospel for the times. I mean, changing times bring deeper and deepening meanings and applications.
And I think that's why it's good to have the context of when the gospels were written. In what context for the people who first heard it? Because was Mark written immediately, or was it first orally transmitted?
Oh, now we are into the most important aspect of the understanding of the Gospels. The three stages. 1964, the church had to face many, many questions that were arising. And a document came out called On the Historical Truth of the Gospels. And it came out from the Pontifical Biblical Commission, who were told by the Pope, you are not just a consultative body, you are the authority on matters scriptural. And the best Bible scholars in the world have served terms on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. And the document, then with that document, when Dei Verbum was written at Vatican II, this was an essential part and component of Dei Verbum, this document. And the three stages are very clear, that first of all, the ground of all of the Gospels, the historical life of Jesus Christ. And I think that's where we put, that's where we find the solidarity and the basis. To pay diligent attention to the three stages of tradition by which the life and doctrine of Jesus came down to us. First, his ministry, where he followed the minds, the method of reasoning of the people of his times. If you'd asked Jesus about the creation, there would be a big firmament, a bowl over the top, right, and the little trapdoors for the rain to come down and so on. Now, he had the mind of a first century Jew. Mark gives us the human Jesus. Now, the second stage is the oral tradition. For Mark, it's 40 years after the death of Jesus. For Matthew and Luke, the mid-80s, John is into the 90s. And in that time, what Jesus said and did gets told and retold. And that often gives us reasons for differences between the Gospels. I mean, take the simple example, the cleansing of the temple. In Mark, it's right at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And then in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so John, it's the beginning. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's late towards the end. Now, there are so many important differences. Now, do we ask why, or do we say who's right? We ask why. Because in Mark and John, he's going to be, this is going to be Jesus' whole mission, cleansing.
Now, I think that we have to go into that during our right. session next yep. Friday. So right. that will be on the 6th of November. Thank you very much, Brother Karen. And because we don't want to take everything away, otherwise right. nobody was going to come. They think that they've heard it already. But Brother Karen has a lot more to share than what he's shared now. And right. That's really wonderful. Thank you so much for this interview, Brother Karen.
Very good. I also
would like to just point out again that if you'd like to learn more about the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel for the New Church Year, that starts the first Sunday of Advent this year, please note that the Zoom sessions will take place on the four Fridays of November, starting with Friday in a week, the 6th of November from 7 to 8:30. And then also we'll have a retreat day with Eamon Butler coming up in November. His online retreat day is with the title, Who Am I? Reflecting on Our Identity in God. This retreat day will be also via Zoom on Saturday, the 28th of November, 10:30 to 4 p.m. And all events are also on my website at www.studyjoy.nz. And for more information and registration, you can look at the website or send me an email at info@studyjoy.nz. Kia kaha, keep safe, and thank you so much, Brother Karen, for this interview.
Thank you. Of love we meet for the